Fair use is a legal concept that allows the Adventures in Hellworld podcast to use content from others for the purpose of criticism of that content. First Amendment, bitches.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, we're going to do part two of Q, the plan to save the world. And so, as last week, I did a little storytelling, a little explainer on who Joe M was, the guy who made this video. And as I explained in that bit of content, that Joe is a South African, and that's the worldview he looks at everything through. And Eric, the Deep State Operative, one of my co-hosts, he mentioned it's really funny that you have someone from South Africa who is an apartheid apologist telling us it's the bad guys who made us racist, which is really, again, it's rich because this guy lived in a supremely racist nation, and he himself is a huge racist who loved himself some apartheid. I dug through some of my old tweets or screenshots of Joe M talking about apartheid and how great it was. His first one was a reply to somebody else who obviously was talking about apartheid and how bad it was. And Joe M says, quote, "Those sanctions were so globalist controlled powers around the world crushing the South African government into surrendering. South Africa was simply trying to defend against globalist occupation, and they lost. Globalist bankers have many different methods of hijacking countries." Globalist bankers. Just say Jew, Joe. It's okay. You can mix in a little anti-Semitism with your racism. We're all friends here. Number two, Joe says, quote, "The human rights struggle," he air quotes the human rights part, "against apartheid and the Fox hero worship of communist terrorist Mandela is a textbook case of how the banking cabal manipulate nations with fake social justice and a twisting of history to simply break in, loot, and destroy." And it leads to a link to a YouTube video entitled "Disrupted Land Documentary," which I'm sure is totally unbiased and gives us the straight dope right down the middle about what was going on between the racist white government and the oppressed black population of South Africa. The third screen grab is two different posts by Joe M. First one is, quote, "They built a wall around their cities out of self-defense against a Soros-engineered Marxist invasion from the north. They called it apartheid, got vilified worldwide, and were eventually forced to concede the fate of their 400-year-old homeland into a murderous communist hell." And this is, he was quote tweeting a post by Katie Hopkins, which has hashtag Plasmore, which I'm sure is a city in South Africa where these racist dirtbags are whining. "Within 2 years, there'll be no white farmers left in South Africa," serving South African police officer. And then the second post is from Joe, quote, "The reasons behind the fall of apartheid are a totally fabricated myth. It had nothing to do with racism or white oppression. It was the Soros-engineered plot to wipe out conservatism, impose cultural Marxism, and occupy Southern Africa under globalist control." And then there's a, this is also quote tweeting someone, Presidency ZA, which lists, then says, "President Cyril Ramaphosa, meeting George Soros and his son Alexander Soros during a bilateral meeting at the Intercontinental Hotel in New York. Mr. Soros is a blah, 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 blah." And the final one, and this is very pithy and quick and to the point, Joe M says to someone as a reply, "Apartheid wasn't evil. That's a globalist myth." Again, globalist. Just, you gotta love it. You gotta love that this guy is just drenched in racism and anti-Semitism. And yet he feels the compunction to make a video where he's like, you're not racist. I'm not racist. The bad guys imposed racism upon us from without. No one would have done any racism if we'd just been left to our own devices. It was Bill and Hillary Clinton and the folks that shot JFK and all that kind of stuff. They're the ones who brought about racism. Yeah. American chattel slavery was totally just created by the deep state. It wasn't horribly evil and racist system of subjugation and oppression that we were all cool with, to the point where we let it happen for almost 100 years in America before we had a bloody and brutal war. And we told the South, hey, you can't have slaves anymore. And then the South is like, well, we're still going to be racist as hell. But that was all the deep state. They made us do that stuff. Nobody wanted to be mean to black people until Obama made them be mean to black people. God, I just love the childlike bullshit of these people and the ridiculous narratives they peddle and promote to justify their bullshit. It's kind of jarring when you think about it and how absurd this mentality is. So, anyhow, last week, they crept in quietly, if you recall correctly. Those jerks always creeping, always being quiet and stealthy. And so I'm going to play a little bit of the last clip from last week and then finish up there. Because I cut the clip off a few seconds too early. I didn't know I had done that. So this will give us the context to jump into where we're going from here. Because this is kind of where Joe's finishing up the whole, the bad guys suck and they're making everything bad for us. And now this is what we were trying to do. We were just trying to live. We were just trying to live our lives as good, salt of the earth, real Americans. And that gosh darn mean deep state, they just, you know, had to do the bad, bad things to us to make us not be able to live a proper, prosperous, conservative life that is what every real American wants.
Lost youth and substance abuse. I could talk all day about how else they deliberately weakened us and it would turn your stomach. We were just trying to get on with living. So where are all the good guys? Good people just want to get married, have kids, make a living, and enjoy their liberty. Well, there were good guys. Many. One became the President of the United States in January 1961. He knew about these criminals and wanted them gone. He knew their intentions for us all, and he wanted to fight them. Sadly, he had no idea how powerful they had become.
So that's our boy JFK. He tried to fight them. Didn't work out for him. And you notice at the start of that whole thing, it's about just how, you know, we just want to get married, have kids, take our lunch pail to work and put in our 40 hours at the mill, blah, blah, blah. And it's just this real dichotomy of the conservative life, the right way to live versus the Miley Cyrus go out and have lots of sex and party and have fun and do all that bad stuff. It's just them damn liberals with their devaluing of the family and blah, blah, blah. And we just wanted to uphold traditional values and so on and so forth. And then, which was really funny, because then they pivot to JFK, the guy that fucked every woman who got into his field of vision, as being the upstanding champion of traditional values and the kind of things that would have helped America actually become great if only he hadn't been killed. And this is one of those things about the Kennedy assassination that always makes me laugh when you talk to conspiracy theorists. And I promise I will not go down this rabbit hole and talk about this for the next half hour. Only 25 minutes. I'm kidding. But that video, or that section of the video, is so funny because it's talking about how Kennedy's like, Kennedy knew the deep state was evil and horrible and full of monsters that were trying to destroy America and enslave us all to their hideous globalist system of debt and having to work three jobs and blah, blah, blah. And Kennedy wanted to beat them, but he had no idea how powerful they were. And that always makes me laugh because Kennedy wasn't exactly assassinated in a very difficult way for the bad guys to kill him. I mean, it is so ridiculous to me to think that Kennedy was like, oh no, I had no idea the bad guys could get a sniper and shoot me to death while I was riding in an open-top car that was going very, very slowly. I had no idea they had the power to do such a thing. It wasn't like Kennedy was inside the White House, fortified and protected, and the deep state broke in with a kill team and assassinated him. And everyone was like, oh shit, that darn deep state, they're so powerful. They defeated the Secret Service and infiltrated the most secure building in America and took down the president. No, the president was just literally in a car and said, hey, try to kill me if you can. I'm defenseless. And then the deep state shot him to death. And as the bullets were flying, Kennedy was like, oh no, oh no, I totally didn't see this coming. I was fighting tooth and nail against a bunch of baby-eating Satanists who wanted to enslave humanity. And while I was in that battle, I decided to abandon my personal security in the most aggressive way possible. And then they killed me. Darn. I should have seen that coming. What a bit of a boo-boo on my part. That's what always makes me laugh about the Kennedy assassination and the RFK assassination from the QAnon mindset, where they always talk about how both Kennedy brothers were in this battle against the deep state. And it's like, yeah, if they were, shouldn't Q team have been like, hey guys, let's tighten up this personal security a little bit. Maybe make it so that you just can't get picked off by some moron with a gun. Maybe we'll do that. How about that? So that's Kennedy. He gets his little moment of shine in the documentary before he is slaughtered and martyred, because that's how QAnon and MAGA like their liberal politicians, dead over 50 years, because that way they can manipulate them and lie about what they stood for. Now I do believe we're going to find out that Ronald Reagan was going to save us all, but that also didn't come to pass.
Reagan also had good intentions for the American people. He knew this criminal mafia controlled almost everything by the state, including the powerful rogue intelligence agencies. His economic policies were promising, but the criminals needed a weak America to hold on to their power. Reagan was shown with a bullet that a growing U.S. economy and prosperous citizens were not what the criminals wanted.
Now, my favorite part of that is that pretty much everyone who is not a dishonest Republican bag of shit will tell you that we had a great economy under Bill Clinton, and we had a pretty good economy under Barack Obama as well. And yet, if you listen to this video, you would believe that basically from the moment Kennedy was pronounced dead in 1963 until the moment Donald Trump took power, we had that month or so of Reagan as president before he got shot, and then he bent the knee and submitted to the deep state. But yeah, we basically had been under 50 plus years of just crippling economic depression and everyone in America living shitty, desperate, hand-to-mouth, paycheck-to-paycheck lives, which is not true, not true in the slightest. It's like really funny. But this is the way this video has to portray our society, because it's talking to people who aren't getting ahead. It's talking to people who are struggling. And it's trying to sell those people that that's everyone's plight. Everyone's everyone's sucking. Everyone's living hand to mouth. Everyone's desperate and grasping and wishing they could get a break.